Sports Interview with Anne Liguori is brought to you by IB Cool Athleisure Wear for men and women. Technology meets fashion with IB Cool, stylish UPF 50 plus sun protection, and ice field technology to cool your body temperature on hot and humid days. Look great and protect your skin. IBKUL.com. And by Tourism Ireland. Ireland is open and ready to welcome you back. World-class courses, celebrated links, spectacular scenery, rich culture, and the warmest of welcomes await. Now is the time to get back to the things that matter most. Now is the time for Ireland. Press the green button and start planning at ireland.com/golf. Coming to you from Augusta National, on the eve of Masters Week. And joining me now is a player making his Masters debut, the winner of the 2024 Bermuda Championship, two-time Olympian, representing Puerto Rico, Rafael Campos. Rafael, welcome to Talking Golf.
Thank you so much, Anne. Thanks for having me today on the show.
It was so great to meet you in person at the Players Championship. And I tell you, your story is one of the best feel-good stories of the year in golf, I do believe. You won your first PGA Tour title last fall, earning a spot into the Masters. So let's start with that first PGA Tour title. What did that title mean to you?
Oh, it meant the world to me, honestly. All the hard work. I've been a professional golfer for 15, 16 years now almost. And ironically, I've only had two major wins in my life, which was a 2019 Abigail Classic on the Korn Ferry Tour. And that took me 9 years to get. And 5 years later, that's when my biggest win in my life so far has came through. So, yeah, it's unbelievable, to tell you the truth. And to this day, I still can't believe it. You know, I still can't believe things happened the way they did, especially when in a year that I was playing very poorly and things really were just not going my way. And I was very close to not having a job. And all of a sudden, I'm here talking to you close to one day away from being in Augusta and starting practices.
I mean, talk about life changing. That first place prize was what, over $1.2 million?
It was. Yeah, you don't really think about, like, when you're in the grind of professional golf, you don't really think about, you do think about money, but you know, when you have that type of week where all your focus is on, like, normally it's on winning and you don't do it for the money, and then obviously when the bank account hit, you're like, whoa, we can pay some debts out, you know, debts out. And, you know, this obviously isn't a very expensive sport. And a lot of people think this is glamorous and all those things. It truly, it might be glamorous to the top 10 guys in the world, but to the regular golfer, the regular PGA Tour player, it's not all flowers and rainbows. You know, this is, like I said, I've been a professional golfer for 15, 16 years, and probably 10 of those have been negative years, you know. So that was a good, great bonus to have and start paying off a lot of things that we owed.
And then I read where your wife gave birth the Monday of that week, and you slept in an airport and just barely made it to your tee time.
True. That was, honestly, that was the highlight of the week. It's a lifelong dream to become a father, and it took us quite some years to be able to have a baby. And so my beautiful baby daughter was born on Monday, and I hopped on a plane on Wednesday night, and stayed. We had a layover in Boston, and I had a layover in Boston. I stayed at the airport. At the gate, probably like 3 hours, 4 hours before the connection, and landed in Bermuda at 10:30 in the morning. Tee time was at 12:40. PGA Tour at least knew, so they were very kind to give me the later tee time on that Thursday to see if I could make it. And it was a dream come true that week. Like, my mind was all on the baby and my wife and making sure that they were healthy. I completely forgot that I was playing a golf tournament. And ironically, ironically end up holding a trophy at the end of the week. So
See, that's
that
the
was
best. You just
unbelievable.
kind of let your natural abilities take over and you don't think too much. And that's when you win, right? That's just.
That is true. I mean, it truly is a mental game once you're at this level. And that week was, I've been trying to get back to that mental state. It's hard. I think I need more babies though. But
I
yeah.
love that. Well, you are making your master's debut this week, your first major championship start. What does playing in the Masters mean to you?
Oh, you have no idea, to tell you the truth. First, I've been, like I said, professional golfer for 15 years. I've been trying to play any major championships for 15 years. I've never been able to. And the lifelong dream of mine was to start competing in major championships. And after I won in Bermuda, I completely forgot that the benefits of winning. The benefits meaning, okay, you obviously you get a great amount of cash, but then you get job security for a couple of years. And at the same time, you get to enter, you get to play in these bigger tournaments. So somebody asked me, like, hey, how do you feel playing the Masters now? And I completely came back to me. I'm like, wait. You know, not only did I become a father on Monday, I won my first tournament on 6 days later. Now all of a sudden, all my other dreams, bucket list, things are slowly checking out. And I can't believe tomorrow I get to play my first, and I can't believe my first major w will be Augusta. You know, that's the coolest thing I think out of them all. I honestly can't believe it. I can't wait to be there tomorrow and start walking the grounds with the patrons. And oh man, my family's gonna be there. I've dreamt of this moment, to giving them the chance of seeing like what a major championship looks like, and knowing that I'll be playing inside. That was my biggest thing. After I won, I'm like, somebody asked me, like, what are you most looking forward to now that you won? Whether or what shot are you most looking forward to? Like, are you most looking forward to now that you play Waste Management, hole number 16 at Waste Management? Now that you play Players Championship, hole number 17 at Players? Kapalua, they gave me a list of 12 at Augusta, and I'm like, guys, honestly, I'm just really looking forward to stepping on that first tee box on Thursday at Augusta, and just knowing that I'm inside the rope playing the Masters. You know, that's what I'm mostly looking forward to. And but yeah, a lot of hard work, and just grateful to have this chance, and grateful to finally be able to play my first major championship at Augusta.
So you were able to play Augusta National, what, the last 2 Mondays, right? Talk about
Last two
how you
Mondays.
played. What did you learn about the golf course?
Okay, so I started asking a lot of players, basically, guys, I'm planning to go practice. What do you recommend? And they're like, and they were all ex exactly the same answers, which was great. They're like, Rafa, go over there. Do not take any notes, first of all. You know, go and take the aura in. You know, like, just get the experience. You know, just go and play golf. So that for 2 Mondays ago, I went by myself, and the walking guest was my caddy, and that was a cool experience. You know, we were just by ourselves. It was cold, it was very windy, and the Augusta caddy told me, like, hey man, you know, you came here in a tough day. Like, it's normally not this hard. So I'm like, oh, okay, that's good. It was the wind direction that day made the course long. And I'm like, man, but the course was just such great shape. I mean, it's so cool to walk every hole. There's a lot of holes that are so different than what I imagined, like on TV. After watching them so many years, I'm like, wait, I thought this hole was like this, and it was very different in person. And so 2 Mondays ago, that was a windy, cold day, and this past Monday was a rainy, cold day, no
Oh
wind.
my.
So I at least, but that's good though. I kind of figured, I'm like, yeah, at least I'm playing these conditions where I feel I'm playing the tougher conditions. You know, if I get a good day, calm day, then it'll seem a lot easier. You know, that's my opinion, obviously.
How did you play? I mean, how'd you shoot? Did you shoot
I
a
shot.
number?
I did not shoot that well. I believe I shot three over or four, three or four over
Okay.
that first day. It was windy and cold, and the rainy day was even around even par. I believe even or one over or something like that. It's fine, you know. It's not like I really didn't mind. What I shot, it was just so cool to be. I couldn't believe it. It keeps its mystique. It keeps its aura. Like when we were having breakfast in the morning, we were just looking outside. We're like, man, I can't believe. Like you feel that you have Bobby Jones still there. You feel that you have all these legends that have gone through there, like that are still present there. It's really cool. I mean, to be a golfer and be able to experience that, I completely understand why so many, I mean, why it truly is a privilege to for some for people to be there and get to play once or some or you had a guest that invited you. And I mean, I truly understand like why it is so big.
And so special for sure. So, talk about the strengths and weaknesses of your game, Raphael, and perhaps how those strengths and weaknesses, will maybe apply to Augusta National.
Yeah, so I can start first of all with weaknesses actually. One thing I've been really battling the last like few months has been the driver, and that used to be like one of my best assets. And I have not, if I look at my stats, this has been the worst, like the past year, the worst driving accuracy. So we are making, we did make a big change last week, which is primarily for Augusta. I just needed to be able to control the ball a little bit better off the tee, because Augusta has, believe it or not, has very wide fairways. For the exception of hole number 7 and 17, they're very narrow, but apart from that, very wide fairway. So you do want to get a little bit of height, a little bit of more distance and all that. And for me, my driver was coming out low, so I wasn't really getting the carry. And over here at Augusta, there's a lot of slopes, and a lot of times you're hitting uphill.
Yes.
So if you hit it low, it's not going to go anywhere. And so we're making a big change this week. This past week, we got more loft, we created more spin on the driver. So it's actually coming out shorter, but it's coming out a lot higher. And I prefer the higher part because I know it'll balance out once I get to the course. So that, as far as weaknesses goes, that's it. Putting has been a strength of mine, and I think it's very important over there. I did
Absolutely.
realize I was very, very grateful to have Ben Sorrell as a caddy those 2 days that I played. He's a local caddy there, and the reason why I think I played so poorly the first day and all that was because I could not understand the greens. It's deceit. They're extremely deceiving. Like everybody says, like, oh, they're so undulating. No, I'm like, no, they have, there's some big undulations in some areas and all that, but no, it's like any other course. But when you're putting down grain and downhill, obviously they're very fast, and but the tough part is when you're putting into the green or into the slope, it's actually very slow. So the ability to control the distance, like two drastic changes, is I think one of the tougher parts there. And secondly, like I had a tough time just because it was really good that Mr. Sorrells told me everything runs towards a certain part of the golf course. All right. And I didn't believe it, but until I started putting. And let's say you think that you have a 10-foot putt and you think it just breaks, I don't know, a little cup left to right, but then you have the tendency going towards the right. That putt in particular won't break a cup. It would break almost 2 feet. That's where the tough part is. That tendency really does pull the balls like towards that area. And I think that was so important for me to go play twice at least. That second time, I felt a lot more comfortable playing, a lot more break, knowing that it was going to go towards a certain way. So I think that's why the first round, because I hit the ball very good that first time I played, I just three-putted like four times, and I just couldn't get myself to see the lines properly. And so my strength is putting right now, but I had a tough time those 2 days. No, but that's good. I know I still have three extra practice rounds. To go once I dial that in, I'll definitely feel a lot more comfortable. But
And you'll go out tomorrow and just show up, and whomever practices with you, I'm sure you can, probably learn a lot if you get an experienced player who,
correct.
to practice with for sure.
Correct. I'm gonna be like having a close eye tomorrow. Yes, I'll head over there. I do want to. I think I really want to enjoy this week, and the fact of like being there. I want to make sure that my practice will take longer, but it'll be lighter. I want to experience it. I want to spend as much time as possible inside the facility. So, yeah, I'm gonna go play 9 holes tomorrow, 9 holes Tuesday, 9 holes Wednesday, and you are spot on. I would like to try to play with a veteran, somebody. So, and that's something that caddies also say is, hey, get as much info as you want or need. There's some areas over there which is a really cool part about that course. Sometimes it's better to be off the green than on the green. That's and. Or miss it in a certain spot than actually hitting a decent shot on the green. I want to make sure I can find. I don't know who yet. I got to check the list. I gotta keep an eye on who's gonna be there at what time and all that. But yeah, I would like to play with a couple of veterans if possible, just to see how they go about their business also, in that type of course. Like I said, it's the first major I play. I'm pretty sure things work a little bit differently, practice rounds and all that, and how the guys go about their business. So I would like to at least have a heads up from somebody that's been there before.
Sure. And I know all of Puerto Rico will be cheering for you, and perhaps the great Chichi Rodriguez from your homeland will be looking down from the heavens and will
Yes.
give you inspiration. Yes.
Very true. No, honestly, this is really cool. I know there's a lot of Puerto Ricans that are flying over there, and how have they gotten tickets? I have no idea, but I know there's a lot of guys. It's going to be really fun. I mean, I know that it's been 40 some years, I believe, since a Puerto Rican has played at Augusta, and it's pretty cool to know that the flag's going to be there. It's pretty cool to know that there's going to be more Puerto Ricans than ever, over there trying to cheer me on and supporting me. So yeah, I know Chi-Chi has obviously been an inspiration for me and for us growing up, and he's definitely looking down on us. He's gonna be really happy that we have representation once again at Augusta. And but yeah, I love having like the home fans at the tournaments. It's cool to be anywhere, actually. I'm here right now before I leave tonight to Augusta. I'm here at San Antonio, and it's funny how every single week, it doesn't matter where I go, I at least see, I don't know, around 10 Puerto Ricans out of nowhere. You're like, whoa. And they're Puerto Ricans, they have their flags. But it's really cool to know that, you're working hard to try to promote the game of golf as much as possible, and there are people that still support you and follow you no matter how good or bad you're doing. So
Well, I know
yeah,
you're
it's
36 years old. You're not a spring chicken on the PGA Tour by
no.
any means, but you play for a bigger purpose, I feel, Raphael. And you've
I
inspired
do.
so many young people in Puerto Rico and throughout the world.
I do. I did realize obviously it's a job for me. I want to provide for my family and all that as much as I can, but at the same time, I know for the last like 6, 7 years, once I started having a little bit of success on professional tours, I did realize I have a lot more support than I thought, and a lot of that support is these younger kids, right? And like the upcoming stars from Puerto Rico. I didn't realize that they were paying so much attention to what I was doing and how I was doing things. And It was like 6 or 7 years ago that I did realize that okay, I'm not doing this for me. Obviously I don't want people to know me as me. I want to make sure I help as much as possible and give these kids the opportunities that now I have, but like for instance, the younger kids back home, they have so much more talent than I had. Like so much more abilities and talents. I feel that if I had their abilities and I had their talents back then, I probably would be competing against, Rory and Tiger and all those guys, on a weekly basis. My goal is to honestly inspire the younger kids back home, and not only back home in South America, Latin America, try to make them understand that, hey, if I was able to actually work my way up through the tours, it took me a long time though, but if I was able to work my way up, like dedicate the time, sacrifices, and everything, you guys are more than able to do this, and that is the one thing I want them to understand and realize. Like I said, I did not have the talent that they have nowadays. I don't have the abilities that they had back then, and I was able to do it, and I think that's one of my main goals as a professional golfer nowadays, is to try to promote the game as much as possible to the younger generations. Just because, yeah, I'm not no spring chicken right now. Okay. I do feel like I'm a veteran, and I would like to continue playing golf at this level for the next 15 years at least, so I still have a lot of work to do. I still have a lot of things I want to do, but I'm always having the kids and the future generations in the back of my mind, just because I know that they, I want it from here to 6, 7 years, I definitely want to be like playing with five other Puerto Ricans. If I had a bad week, don't worry, there's four other kids, representing our flag right now. So let's pull, like let's support them and kind of root for them. So that's my goal. And I do not want to stop playing golf until there are five, six Puerto Ricans playing alongside me on the PGA Tour or on Korn Ferry Tour or wherever.
Wow, you're an inspiration, and boy, your impact on your country, on the young people who are coming out of your country playing golf is just immeasurable. I love the story of you writing a personal letter to get an exemption into the Arnold Palmer Invitational this past February, your letter to Sam Saunders, Arnold Palmer's grandson, and Amy
And
Saunders,
Amy.
Arnold's daughter, was so moving. And I read where you send out letters like this all the time, but you've only been, what, you only got two answers from tournament directors?
Correct. Yes, we the worst they can say is no. That's the best mentality to have, and so yeah, I have sent, man, throughout my years, I don't know, 100 maybe letters, and yes, I've only had two yeses, but it's funny how things worked. This time I did not write about myself, for it to Mrs. Palmer and Miss Amy, I'm sorry, and Sam and all that. It was a different letter. It was pretty much telling them, like, guys, I would love to play in your event. And it's the same week as a very important event to me, for me during the Puerto Rico Open. But I do believe that I could make a bigger difference if I play in your event. I can definitely promote, my goal, like I said, promote the, like inspire the younger generations, right? I believe I remember Tom, like if I get a spot, I really do believe that these younger kids will basically realize that through this hard work and all that, you can move to bigger and better opportunities. And I was so moved and happy that Miss Palmer, Sam, tournament director, they understood the message, first of all. And they are honestly one of the few people that are still honestly trying to grow the game of golf, and they saw this also as an opportunity to help promote and grow the game of golf, using me as a as an example.
Sure.
And I was just so moved and grateful for all of them. I told them in person, that I was extremely grateful and thankful for this opportunity. For that, I was obviously a little depressed how bad I played. I wanted to do so well. I really wanted to do so well that week that I played the worst golf I've played in years.
Well, you were
I
probably just trying too hard, pressing a little bit. But hey, this is Masters Week. You're gonna
Yes.
be representing all of Puerto Rico and beyond. Wishing you all the best this Masters Week and always, Rafael. It's just such a pleasure to get to know you. And I'll be out there watching, and I'm sure you'll have a lot of fans from Puerto Rico just trying to be
Yes.
on.
They're gonna all be sitting down over there, either in Puerto Rico or over there in Augusta. Nah, but thank you so much for the time, man. I mean, truly enjoyed it. I'm here for anything you guys need. This has been really fun.
Sports Interview with Anne Liguori is brought to you by IBCOOL Athleisure Wear for men and women. Technology meets fashion with IBCOOL, stylish UPF 50 plus sun protection, and ice field technology to cool your body temperature on hot and humid days. Look great and protect your skin. IBKUL.com. And by Tourism Ireland. Ireland is open and ready to welcome you back. World-class courses, celebrated links, spectacular scenery, rich culture, and the warmest of welcomes await. Now is the time to get back to the things that matter most. Now is the time for Ireland. Press the green button and start planning at ireland.com/golf.